Everybody say the prayer of faith.
Prayer.
I want to share just a little bit about faith this morning because Brother Higgin told us, you should teach at least faith once a month. So I don't always do that, but because we do series, we'll do maybe six messages on one topic and five messages sometimes, four, three sometimes even longer. And so we've been on a Tuesday night. If you don't have any, if you got time, if you want to be part of what we're doing on Tuesday night, we're teaching on prayer and precept. And so we teach and then we practice prayer and we show people how to pray. And so, you won't learn how to pray unless you go to a prayer meeting where people actually know how to pray. And you see the principles that are being used, and the number of steps they take for different particular prayers. So prayer, somebody said prayer is prayer. Well, prayer has different facets to it that has principles attached to it that make it work properly. So we teach on the principles and demonstrate, and we pray together. And so that's how you learn. You're watching other people do it. And it's a good way to do it, observe people and see what's happening. So if you don't know how to praise, come into that meeting and we'll show you how to praise. And you won't feel embarrassed to praise. Some people are embarrassed. They seem to be shy to praise. They feel like this. It's not their personality. It's not their style. But you see, the Bible shows us it has nothing to do with personality. It has nothing to do with style. It has to do with obeying God. Amen? And God says to do a certain way, you have to follow or else it's not going to work. So don't be shy about prayer, because Isaiah said we shouldn't be embarrassed or shy. In the book of Isaiah, it says to praise God in front of our children, to do it in front of them so that they will learn, to learn how to do it. So I want to encourage you to pray at home with your family. When you can, don't make it a legalistic thing where you force everybody to pray, because it becomes a difficulty. Do it in a natural setting whenever you get a chance. You don't have to have long prayers. Could be 15 seconds, could be half a minute, could whatever it is, and just pray with people and learn to do that, and it'll help. The feeling of spirituality in your home. So bring it, men. I would say encourage. I want to encourage the men to take your place in the home, because you're the head of the home, and whatever happens there is because of you. So if people are going crazy, it's because of you. When you're doing better, it's because of the wife. And so thank God. I appreciate all the men here that are working. So we're believing God with you this summer. Mother's Day is past. It's history. But now the Father's Day is coming up. So the women got, what did they get, flowers? I think I'm going to buy shoes for everybody. A free shoe for you. And we'll get it from the superstore. We don't care what size you are, we're going to give you shoes. In fact, I think I got enough shoes for everybody in my house. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up for a second. You look tired. I want to give my wife my wallet, but don't take anything out of it. Sorry about that, honey. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we release faith. And we pray that everybody is going to hear something from heaven. Anything that's wrong with them will be worked out in this message. We pray that anything that's lost, anything that's difficult, anything that they're really struggling with, things that are unhappy situation will be straightened out. Father, you make the Word of God so easy for us. You make it so easy for us to believe. In fact, you furnished us faith to believe you, to get saved, and to have other things. So we thank you that everyone here has the ability or has faith already to believe. So thank you for everyone here today and those that are watching online, all our friends and partners. We ask a mighty blessing, a miracle power of God working right there. You're everywhere, Lord. The Bible says that you're everywhere, and you know everything. And so we thank you that your miracle power is right there where they are, wherever they are. So thank you that this will work. We receive by the Holy Spirit. We ask him to make it clear to us. So we invite him. He's a great teacher. Thank you, Lord. We believe that. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I felt in my spirit yesterday that the Lord said to me, we walk by faith, not by sight. And I just felt that the Lord was leading me. So I want to teach you in a very few minutes, in the next half hour or so, about how to walk by faith, how to pray by faith. So let's use this scripture, and you can put it up there, Miss. It'll be 2 Corinthians 5:7. We'll take that faith scripture, and we'll look at a couple of things. And I want to go to first chapter of Romans, verse 17. And we'll get a few other scriptures in there at the same time. I want you to pay very close attention, because I believe the Lord made it clear to me, so that it'll make it clear to you. Like a lot of people make faith, believe in God for something. You know, everybody has to believe God. And if you're believing other things, believing God doesn't mean you're going to not believe in the natural, because what is happening in the natural is real. But you have to consider God's word first. If you're taking medications, you don't throw your medications away. I'm going to say that again. If you're taking medications, don't throw your medications. Nobody in this room ever told you to put your medications away. Hello? You let God tell you, let the doctor tell you to put the medications away, and then you'll be okay. But if you throw away the medications, the stomach ailment will come back or something. You know, so believe God, whatever it is that you're doing, don't throw away your crutch, because you might have to crawl around. So believe God, amen. Don't give away all your money, because you'll be broke. You need money to live, amen. Brother Price, Fred Price, Dr. Price taught on faith, foolishness, and presumption. Are you in faith? Are you only presuming to be in faith? Or are you just plain foolish? So learn to walk by faith. And so that's why I'm teaching you this over here, because sometimes people talk about faith people like we're crazy. We're not crazy. We just believe God. And so thank God, I want to be clear. God called me to be a teacher, and that's what I'm supposed to be, a teacher. I didn't think I was a teacher. I don't feel like I'm the best one to teach, but the Lord calls you, you go ahead, move ahead, and do whatever you have to do. And so we don't decide, I think I'm going to do this and that. So let God decide. Did you find your scripture? Let's go up here. Up here it says, let's all say it 3 times together, everybody, with their voice, using your voice, because this is going to be very important for you to say this. I want, by the count of three, we're going to repeat this 3 times. 1, 2, 3. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now again, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Come on, everybody, use your outside voice. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So this scripture here says a lot. He says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So I want to explain that scripture in very layman's terms so that we all understand. This is not some kind of, walking by faith, you know. You know, that everybody, the Bible is for everybody. The Bible is for everybody. It's not something for super spiritual people that are in ministry for 30 years and they've gone to Africa and healed the sick. This is for you today. This is for you sitting at home right now, drinking your coffee and watching Team Canada play. Shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. But you should listen to the Bible. Now, go to the first chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. You know, we have, uh, we, you know, Wednesday was so exciting in here. Man, this, you could just, it was electric. Just very electric. And right now, the anointing, everybody's like this. You know? It doesn't bother me. I'll preach anyway. If you're sleeping, I'll still preach. So I do it by faith. You know, so I just want to let you know how it looks over there, too. So if I'm boring, it's maybe because you're boring. So you have to listen with your body, right? Okay, it says, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. I'm going to look at the last section. As it is written, he's talking about us, the just shall live by faith. He's talking about you and me, that we shall live by faith. So what is it talking about, living by faith? We live by faith. He didn't say we try to do it. There's no such thing as trying to live by faith. You either do it or you're not doing it. So if you're going to do it, let's do it right. Okay? So the just, that word just is just a simple word. It means to be justified or made right with God. That word there. Circle it in your Bible. If you have a Bible, the word just means those who've been made right or righteous with God. God made you right with him by Jesus. You didn't do anything to deserve, you received a right spirit. Right now, if you're born again, your spirit is right on target, right with God. You didn't do anything for it. All you did is trust Jesus, and Jesus gave you a right heart, a right spirit, even if your head is stupid. If your head is thinking sinful things, mean things, in your spirit, you're still right. Because your head has to be educated according to your heart. The only part of you that got born again was your spirit, not your head. That's why a lot of Christians who are carnal have a hard time living and having victory, because their head goes before their heart. That's why the Bible says, let's go over here to Scripture, over in the Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're still in Romans here. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. Everybody, touch your body. Say, this is my body. Say, I am responsible for my body. Say, I brought my body to church. Say, I took care of it last night. I fed it. I combed it. I groomed it. I washed it. So you took care of that body, right? That's on the outside, but there's other things in your body that gives you trouble. It's like having a bad desire. If you want to go and drink lots of beer, your body wants to drink beer or something. Well, you said, no, I'm not going to have, you can't do that. So I want to sleep in. How many of you wanted to sleep in this morning? Raise your hand. You want to sleep in. You see? But you said, no, you're not going to sleep in. I'm taking you to church. Because every time you want to go work out, you say, I'm going to go work out. Your body says, nah, I don't want to go. I don't feel like it. So, but you made your body go to work out. Okay? And some of you are paying for it because you didn't take your body out. You wonder why, what did I do here? Why am I feeling so bad or whatever? It's because you haven't done something with your body. So you're responsible for your body. When you say, I'm smoking cigarettes and stuff like that and doing bad things with your body, you say, the devil did it. No, you did it. So your body has urges that wants to do the same thing it did before it was saved. Now, don't feel bad. I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just trying to tell you the difference over here. We're going to walk by faith. So you don't listen to all your urges, whatever it wants you to do. You have to teach yourself that you have authority over your body. See, I have authority over my body. All its urges and desires, I have authority over it. So if you haven't learned that, you will continually fail. You know, I went to AA for a number of years. I didn't understand that until Pastor Kevin started teaching me faith. And I said, I was going to the meetings. I was afraid to go to leave AA because I thought I would drink again. Because I didn't have any faith. So once I figured out, Colossians 1:17 says, I've been delivered from the power of darkness. What don't you understand that you've been delivered? I said to myself, what part of you that doesn't understand you're delivered from drugs, alcohol? Once I understood I could take authority over that, now it was my responsibility, not anybody else, not any excuses, not any trouble, there's no trouble can make me take drugs or do alcohol ever again. If I did it, I did it myself. It wasn't because I was depressed. It wasn't because I was confused. It was because I learned that I was responsible for my own body. Okay? I want you to understand this because, you know, you're leave that up there because I'm not done. So my body is not me. The real me is that on the inside of me. My body is what takes me around in this world. So I don't have to obey my body all the time. Like when I was a young man and I started to go to AA, I learned some things there. Thank God that they learned me some things about faith. I didn't understand it back then. Some of us grew up promiscuous. I'm not going to ask for any hands in here. Because you grew up that way, you know, we grew up in that environment. And I went to, you know, they said that if you want to stay sober, don't go to it with women because that'll get you into a lot of mess. I'm going to be quiet for a second. Think about what I'm going to say next. And so my sponsor said, Roma, listen, you have to be able to take care of yourself. You can't be messing around. So I decided I'm not going to mess around. So I decided I'm not going to do it. So I understood that you can't obey every urge you have. If you're a Christian, you can be a Christian in this house and still be sleeping around. Very quiet there. It's quieter than my last one. Okay, so I'm going to show you something. I want to tell you something. Okay, listen, I'm not trying to make fun of people. I'm trying to emphasize that so that we understand that you're responsible for everything. And a lot of confusion happens. They think God's responsible for that. No, you're responsible for what you're doing with your body. Who's responsible for your cholesterol? You are. All that chicken you've been eating. That's why I stopped eating chicken late at night. Every Friday we used to eat lots of chicken. Right? We had all these chicken jokes. Every time I go somewhere, someone on they watch me on television, oh, I like that chicken joke. After they've taken a bite of that chicken. But you listen, so you have, you know, say, I beseech you, therefore. Everybody say, you. Say, you is me. So, very simple. Watch this. This is so simple that people say, I didn't know that. That was in that scripture. In this scripture, there's a threefold revelation in that scripture that talks about your spirit, your body, and your mind. So, there, I beseech you. You is the man on the inside. Your spirit. He's talking about you have a body. Your spirit lives in a body. Everybody say, my spirit lives in a body. So your body is not boss in your life. You got to stop allowing your body to be boss in your life. Yeah, but I love her. Oh, yeah? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, thank God for his mercy, that you, there's you again, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, it's not easy telling your body what to do because it's been bossed all your life. So you have to learn to do this. So he said, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Go to verse 2. Verse 3. And I say, through the grace of God given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He didn't tell you not to think. So thinking has to do with your mind. Say, my thinking is part of my mind, which is a part of my soul. See, your thinking and your feelings have something to do with your soul. So he says in here, so I say through the grace given to me, thank God for the grace and given unto me and to every man. So grace is not only given to Paul, but given to everybody. What's the grace? The ability to do something you can't do on your own. God gives you the ability. See, God gave me the ability to stand in the office of pastor. I didn't do that myself. I was sitting there one day, and I realized, oh, I'm a pastor. I didn't have to get 7 scriptures and memorize them and think about them. Oh, I'm a pastor, I'm a pastor, I'm a pastor. No, it came into me. It's called the gift of faith. It's a gift of faith. It just comes in you, bang, you're that's what you are. You don't try to be that. You just get that revelation, then you start acting in it. So it says not to think about himself more highly than he ought to think. It didn't say not to ever think high of yourself. It just said not more highly than you ought to. You ought to think high of yourself. You ought to think, I'm lovely, I'm wonderful, and great. God loves me. People love me. You ought to think that way. But not higher. It didn't say, oh, I'm better than everybody else. Nobody is good as me. Look how smart I am. Oh, yeah, who gave you that smart? God gave you it. There's nothing about you that you can brag about that you did it on your own. Oh, look how tall I am. So what if I'm challenged a little bit? Okay, I didn't create that. You didn't create your height either. If I could, I would do it. You know, people talk about different things about their lives. You know, look at me, I'm this, I'm that. No, you know, God created you, and you had really nothing to do with it. So he says, so don't think highly about yourself that you got a 5.0 and I got a 3.0. Maybe you're smarter than me somehow, but let's leave it that way. Okay, so then he ought to think. You ought to think something. But to think soberly as God did to every man the measure of faith. So, you know, we need to be able to. Let's go to verse 1 again. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is a reasonable service. Verse 2. And I be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, your mind has something to do when walking by faith. If you're going to walk by faith, you can't always go by what you think about it. Because you're limited to how what you see. You're educated by the physical person of you, teaches you what's real, what's not real. But if you look on the floor, see all those little creatures on the floor? You say, what creatures? Well, they're there. You don't see them. They're there. They're real. You know there's bugs on your skin? Crawling all over you? They're eating up your skin and everything? They never get bigger. Well, there's germs everywhere, but you can't see them. There's in this room right now, there's all kinds of signals going on. There's TV going on here. There's internet going on in here. You know, there's signals going on, but you can't see them with your eyes. But they're there. So we're limited with our natural mind to know different things. The only way we can see in the spiritual realm is through the Bible. The Bible teaches us. And the only way you're going to walk by faith is to read the scriptures and believe it. So, we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? How does that translate to me in this world? You know, I'm sick here. Doctor says I got to take these medications. I got diabetes. I got heart disease. So, you know, sometimes we get, people have trouble in different areas. You break down a little bit. You know, your car breaks down. You got to fix it. And your body sometimes breaks down because you do something with your body that you shouldn't do maybe or should do some things. We talked about last week about, you know, the sin of omission and the sin of commission. It's easy to, we like to pick on people who commit certain sins. But we never pick on ourselves when we don't obey God, what he's been telling us to do. We leave things out. We leave the sin of omission out, which is, means we don't do what we're supposed, we know we're supposed to do. We don't commit the obedience that we're supposed to be. And so we never call it a sin, though. We just call it, well, I don't want to do it. I don't have any time. You know, I've got too many bills. I can't give any tithe. I can't give any money this week. No, you got money. You just don't want to give it. You're cheap. And you want to do what you want to do. Right? I was talking about somebody the other day. He said, you know what? I've made millions of dollars. Where did it all go? I don't know. Probably somewhere buying a car or something. I don't know what you did with your money. It's easy to spend $100,000. Thank God for money. So we walk by faith, not by sight. So let's go to a couple more scriptures here. I got 3 more minutes left. Mark 11:24 is a very famous scripture we use around here. How many people are familiar with it? By the way, Rhema graduates, was it yesterday or day, Saturday? Friday? I was just reminiscing about Rhema, how Rhema changed my life. They sing that song, Rhema taught me what I, was that Rhema taught me what I had to do? What does it say? What I needed to know. Rhema taught me what I needed to know, and what else? You remember what the song goes? Yeah. But anyway, it taught me what I needed to know. Supernaturally, God brought me there and brought me back. Mark 11:24. Are you still here?
Yeah.
Where are you going? Oh, sorry. He's just going to the bathroom. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, what takes you over your desire when you pray? Everybody say, when I pray.
When I pray.
Believe. When you pray, you have to believe. You know what believing is? Believing is when you trust and you have confidence in somebody, what they say. Believing is when you put trust and confidence in somebody. And when you believe something, you act like that's true. When you believe it, when you believe something, you act like, oh, thank God, it's wonderful. It's happening. When it's not even happened yet. So believing is like acting like something is already happened. So if you said you believe something, and if you're going to walk by faith, if we tell you something that your sins are forgiven and you're still sitting there acting like you're not forgiven. Say, God forgive all your sins. You say, oh, I can't believe that. Okay, then you need to know God a little bit more. Learn to trust him because God doesn't lie. When you go to the hospital, I don't care whatever the doctor says to me, what kind of sickness I have, I know God healed me. It doesn't matter if the doctor, if the bad report, if he says you're going to die, God has already healed you. If you haven't got to that point, then you're in big trouble. Amen. You got to learn this. If you don't learn this, then you're going to panic. We all have to go through the emotional experience to understand this process. Like for me, people asked me, the Prayer Canada asked me today, the other day, I had a meeting with the Prayer Canada guy. He asked me, so how are the people receiving you here in Thunder Bay, all the pastors? You have to sound like that if you're a Prayer Canada guy. He's got a nice voice, though, a nice man. I love him. He's good. What a wonderful guy. You couldn't meet a better guy for Prayer Canada. Told me how he got into Prayer Canada. And how he trained, in Huntley Street, and how he helped people out there. Very nice man. So how did they receive you? I said, well, I don't know. I said, you got to ask them. But I said, when I came in here, I wasn't received very well because, first of all, they didn't like my background. Or my foreground. In the side ground, too. In the underground, in the top ground. I didn't like anything about me. Because everything about me was contrary to what I'm supposed to be, what a minister is supposed to look like. You know? I said, being First Nations, it still affects me in this city, being a First Nations pastor. I don't care what you think. There is racism in this city. I'm glad you like Native people. And some, there's racism on the other side, too. There's a lot of white Native people. They don't like white people. But I like white people. I married one. And I like all of you. Every the same, because God put us together. And we got to get used to this, understand these things. You know, we can't just hide things. I like, you know where I get this from? I got that from Larry Salt. Well, Larry, you know, I love Larry. You know Larry Salt? You know, but Google Larry Salt. He's my brother. Now, you can't, you know, if you're going to walk by faith, you can't be distracted by what people say about you, what the doctor said, how it looks. When you're walking by faith, what really matters is what does God say about you, about your future, about your past. God says, I've forgiven your past. And no matter how many times you failed because you didn't have information to make the best choices, and so you failed. So you got to make sure this time you're going to make the right decisions with the right information. You can use faith or the Word of God for that. You know, you cannot have faith unless you know the Bible. Unless you know what's in this Bible, you cannot walk by faith. That's why you have teachers like me, churches that want to. Now, if you go to some churches, they'll tell you all kinds of stuff and make you feel good, send you home. And everything, you know, you have to teach people. Now, when they get in trouble, they call you. At the last moment, they want, just before they're taking their last breath, they call you to pray for them. I'm serious. Then there's nothing you can do unless God moves in some spectacular way. So we walk by faith. Nobody said the word we means us. We walk by faith. The word faith is synonymous with the Word of God. It means the same thing. We walk by the Word of God. The Word of God was given so that we can govern our lives and make sure we make choices. You ask yourself, when you're making a good choice, does it reflect this? Is that in the Scripture? No matter what you're doing right now, it might feel good right now, but it's gonna bite you behind somewhere. Because it's deceptive. Sin is deceptive. It's pleasurable for a short time. So we walk by faith, or we walk by the Word of God, not by sight. The word sight has to do with sense, knowledge, evidence, feelings, what you think about it, what everybody says about it, what it looks like, what the circumstances is dictating to you. We don't walk by sight. Or you could put it this way. We don't walk by how you see it. We don't walk by how you feel about it or what they said they feel about it, so they give you that information. They say, well, what do you think about this? They say, well, I don't think you should do that. Okay, I'll do that then. No, you don't walk by that. You walk by what the Word of God says. What does God's Word say about giving finances? Oh, they say, you know, preachers, they want all your money. Where did you get that from? We, you know, I don't want to join churches. I had people tell me, there's no good churches in this city. You mean to say God is that stupid that he never sent one good pastor in this city? He's not that mean. There's got to be at least one pastor in one church in the city that God sent. Well, he sent many of them. Some of them probably are not sent. But I know God sent me. I know where I'm from. I know why you want to kill me too. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said to the guys, you know, I know where I'm from above. So we didn't finish that. Let's go read this again. Therefore I said to you, what things you ever desire, Mark 11, what things you ever you desire, whatsoever things you desire, everybody say you desire. It's not what grandpa desires, somebody said. Not what your wife desires. Not what that person laying in bed desired. I asked someone the other day, so you know, so-and-so died. I said, okay, what did they say about it? Well, I want to pray for them. Why did they die? Well, what did they desire? You can't push your desire on somebody. I can't push my desire on you. I can't say, well, I'm going to pray this for you whether you like it or not. I pray that you come to this church, and I pray you give $100 every week. If I could do that, I would do it. You can't do that. It's what every person desires. And sometimes, because when they're not in faith, one day they're in, one day they're out. One day they're good, one day they're not. So it's like in and out, up and down. So you have to continue to keep your desire straight. Your desire has nothing to do with how you feel. Anytime you have a problem with it, just go back to the scripture and read it again. Say, yeah, that's my choice right there. It has nothing to do with how you feel. Oh, I'll see how I feel tomorrow. No, tomorrow is going to be a different feeling. You might feel good about it, you might not. But it has nothing to do, if you make a decision in God, it has to do, everything about has to do with this. What you desire when you pray, believe that you receive. Everybody say, believe. That I receive. So this is all by faith. So if you believe you receive, if somebody asks you about whatever it is you're having difficulty, what are you going to say? Listen to this woman. Hear he, her. Yeah, amen. You see, you have to believe you receive. Say, thank God, you know, your body might be telling you, I don't have that, whatever. Just say, no, I believe I receive. I don't care. You have to talk to the devil. Say, devil, you know what? You might be thinking you're winning right now. It looks like I'm losing. But no, God has the last word, and I believe God's word. I believe I receive. I believe my children are all coming home. I believe that my money is coming, and I believe my husband is going to come. I believe I'm going to get the right to marry the right person. I believe, you know, that I'll be on top and never in the bottom. I believe that I'm free from drugs and alcohol. I believe that right now. I believe I'm happy right now. And I'm going to act like it. I believe I receive happiness right now. Ha, ha, ha. It's true. And you have to act like it. You have to walk around the room and say, I believe I'm happy. I believe I'm happy. I believe I'm happy. I believe I'm happy. And then you're fighting with yourself, eh? You have to believe that. I believe that. Don't say, nobody loves me. Nobody will love you. Well, nobody will love you. That's not correct. My wife would say, that's not correct grammar. Believe that you received them and you shall have them. Everybody say, shall.
Shall
is future tense. How many of you went to grammar school? Not grammar school, grammar school. Shall, is that a designation for right now or tomorrow or later? Okay, so have means what? See, these two words are in here. And the reason why you're confused is you haven't read the scripture enough. You're going to have to believe you have it. And then somewhere along the line it's coming. It's manifesting. You have to say, in the name of Jesus, every fiber of my being is resisting this flu. Every fiber of my being is resisting this cancer. Every fiber of my being is resisting this TB, whatever it is. You just tell yourself that in the name of Jesus. Just say, well, I can't believe that. Then you can't believe it. I'm sorry about it. This is what you have to believe, the script. This is the Bible. Jesus said it. So, we have to close because I know it's a very difficult one for some people, but listen, it's there. So faith, let me close with this statement. Faith means, no, you don't have to say this. I'm telling you something. Faith. Faith is acting like the Bible is true. That's as simple as it is. Acting like the Bible is true. Everybody say, faith is acting like the Bible is true. So as soon as you find out what's in the Bible, then you act like it's true. Like last night, we prayed, my wife and I, we prayed, and we read scriptures. We said, okay, thank God I have no cares in the world. And yet we have lots of cares. Oh, I don't have any burdens. I have no burdens at all. I'm going to act like it so that Jesus has got them. Now, if you're worried about them, then you still have them. Jesus got them, doesn't have them, and he can't do them unless, he can't take it unless you get your hands off it. Cast all your cares on the Lord. So if you're still worried about it, that means you have them. God doesn't have them. When it comes to you, say, Lord, I don't have them. God has them.